What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try. What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo.
Dude, we have done this podcast for a long time. You know who
screws me up? Nick. Coach Nick. He goes, they tell you what they know. And every time I'm like, what?
The podcast that you know.
The podcast that you know.
Welcome into the Deuce and Mo podcast, recording this on a Friday night. We're at the NBC Sports Studios in San Francisco, but don't you fret. Tomorrow night, following Kings Raptors, we'll be back in the Deuce and Mo studio so we can have fun, take calls, all that fun stuff. But tonight, let's start with the headline. The Sacramento Kings have now won three in a row. They go to Atlanta tonight, taking on a banged-up Hawks team. No Dyson Daniels, right?
Yep.
No DeAndre Hunter. They're missing a ton of guys. But they had Trae Young, Jalen Johnson, and Garrison Matthews, a.k.a.
Steph.
He looked Matthews. Like Steph Matthews tonight. The Kings got a big lead. Hawks made a run. Tied it in the fourth quarter, but DeMar DeRozan, De'Aaron Fox, like, settle it down.
He literally did that.
Calm down.
Yep.
Fox with 31, DeRozan with 27. The Kings get the win in Atlanta, 123-115. They are now 3-2 on the season. I'm Deuce Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. How you doing, Mo?
I'm doing so good after a victory. It's a Friday night. I love it. I love it all. It's been a crazy jam-packed start to the season. In those 2 days off, for me, were really fun and just like nice, like a better pace. So I can only imagine what it did for these guys because they came out so strong in that first quarter.
Yeah, it was really good to see how the Kings offense was flowing tonight. I mean, it at times was just, they were making the extra pass. They were playing in their early offense, playing with pace, knocking down some shots, and it was flowing pretty well. Atlanta just kept it close, though.
Yeah.
And I thought the Kings defense tonight was disappointing at times, for sure.
Disappointing, yes.
In the first half, there was some second chance opportunities. You know, who really hurt them in the first half were the bigs, like Okongwu, Capella, and Roddy. Two of the three were in double digits, mm-hmm. And it felt like the size thing was going to be a major issue. in the second half, it was the opposite, where it was the three-point shooting that just destroyed the Kings. Garrison Matthews hit 7 of 13 from downtown. And if Garrison Matthews won this game tonight for the Hawks,
what would you have done?
The podcast was canceled. I retire.
That's not true. None of it's true. None of it's true. He did say before the game, he goes, if the Hawks win this game, I will not be okay. And I was like, yeah. Okay, what does that even mean? Like, well, bye?
In all honesty, what I liked about tonight's game is it's another game where I look at last year's Kings probably fold when it gets tied. You know, when Trae Young ties it at 109, it just feels like the last year's team or even the year before, they turn the ball over and you're like, ugh, what are we doing here? But when you've got two guys in the fourth quarter who really aren't scared of the moment and are just killers, and DeMar DeRozan and De'Aaron Fox, you'll feel pretty good. The Sacramento Kings only scored 21 points, I believe, in the fourth quarter. Yeah, they were outscored 25-21, but 16 of the 21 were from Fox and DeRozan.
You know, you keep mentioning the two guys that you had, and I mentioned this criticism even on the postgame show. And, I mean, you guys, we talk about how perfect this man is all the time. I can definitely criticize the slightest thing. And the slightest thing to me, because you even mentioned Fox and DeRozan being out there, being able to depend on them, whatever. It just was tough for me to see Sabonis get in the foul trouble at the end. I thought there was some bullshit calls throughout the game on him and some other guys. But then when he got that ticky-tack on Trae Young up by the half-court line for his fifth, and then at the end just blatantly used his arm on Capella, you could tell he was frustrated. And that, to me, was like just so the old Domas Sabonis that would like get frustrated, talk to the refs, do what he needed to do, showed his passion a lot of times, where he kind of went back to that toward the end of this game. But how great is it that the Kings now have multiple guys that they can depend on to get them back in it.
He also had that touch fell underneath on Capella. That was an and one when they were on their run. They cut it to 109-107. But, yeah, I mean, there's also that foul he got called on the illegal screen where you're going, what?
Such bullshit.
I mean, I think the frustration for him tonight was, like, he wasn't necessarily getting the benefit of the doubt, but he was also getting clobbered down.
Yeah.
And I think that's just frustrating for him.
Yes, absolutely.
But he ends up with 15 points. He had 14 rebounds, 6 assists on 5 of 11 shooting. He's also 5 of 5 from the free throw line. An early season thing I'm loving through 5 games, the free throw shooting in general from Sacramento. They shot 30 free throws tonight. They were 26 of 30. DeMar DeRozan gets there a ton. Fox is hitting over 90% the free throw line this year. And after tonight, I think Sabonis is pushing almost 80% the free throw line. And last year, the Kings didn't get there a ton. They were, you know, 21st in free throw attempts, but then they were last in free throw percentage. People are like, the Kings suck at free throws. No. Two guys were really bad at it, okay? It was Fox and Sabonis last year for the most part. The most, right?
Yeah.
And Fox turned it on after the All-Star break. Sabonis just was inconsistent all year. So it's really refreshing to see the Kings not only getting to the line more, but knocking down their free throws, and Sabonis knocking down his free throws. So that was really encouraging
Absolutely.
To see.
Absolutely. And my whole point to that, though, it's just like we were kind of saying, seeing DeMar DeRozan with another 20-point game, it's like you can rely on so many guys that if someone does have some moments where they're not playing their best basketball or not bringing their A game or whatever it may be, you just have multiple pieces and not just offensive weapons, not just being like, oh, like he can get you a bucket. It's like you feel the confidence and the leadership when DeMar DeRozan is out there, and the same thing with De'Aaron and the same thing with Sabonis. And it felt so good in a game like this when they did face adversity. Trae Young tied the game with that long two in the corner, and it felt like, okay, what are you guys going to do? De'Aaron just goes to work, tells everyone to calm the F down. And it's like, this is the, like, I don't want it to get back to that point and get close again, but it's the NBA. It's going to happen at times.
Yeah.
Too.
Teams are going to absolutely make runs and you don't love it when it happens, but it's how you handle it. And the Kings close the door tonight.
And it's how they get on these runs. And it's like you said, the defense, it was bad times was not pretty.
I felt like they were trying to blitz the pick and roll
yep.
with Trae Young a lot, and it was just opening up so many things for the Hawks. And like I understand the idea of getting the ball out of Trae Young's hands, but also like Trae Young is, you know, 8 of 21 in this game. He ends up with 25 points, but he wasn't really efficient. And it felt like they were just making the extra pass, and then Garrison Matthews was unconscious. And I joked with De'Aaron after the game. I'm like, God, it made him look like Steph Curry out there. To be fair, Garrison Matthews has been a very efficient three-point shooter in his career. He's getting more opportunities now in Atlanta, taking over six attempts a game. And to start the season, he's been amazingly hot. Coming in tonight, over 50% from three, he knocks down 7 of 13. My problem is when you're defending like that and then you're in scramble mode a little bit, you got to come out on shooters, you got to worry about the bigs rolling to the basket who have much, much greater size, right?
Yeah.
Especially when Sabonis is out, you know, trying to come out high on that pick and roll coverage, you just put the defense in a tough spot. And I thought Garrison Matthews, for a guy that was red hot, got too many clean looks. And, you know, it's a good I've learned these lessons in wins and losses. That's the good news. And it's
great
a good
point.
Lesson for the Kings to like, okay, how do we navigate this? You know, how do we pick our spots with blitzing Trey or showing high and then maybe not, you know, giving him different looks. And at times he did, like, you know, I was watching tape from the Kings-Hawks game last year in Atlanta, the only time they played Trae Young, and the Kings in that game threw Fox on him, Chris Duarte, and Davion Mitchell. And it was funny because I'm like, man, Duarte's not here, Mitchell's not here, and Keon Ellis didn't even play in that game. He didn't play in either of the Hawks games last year. And so this time, to have the ability to throw Fox on him, to throw Keon Ellis on him, Keegan Murray on him, I thought that was a great benefit, but I thought late in this game, there's too much of them trying to get the ball out of his hands.
Yeah, it was. I mean, that's exactly it. It was just like, why are you adjusting your game plan completely like he's going off? If anything, Matthews is going off. And the adjustment to even slightly be off of someone who is red hot shooting, you should not be doing. And then not only him, it's just like you said, in the beginning of the game, the bigs were having a lot of moments where they were scoring. And it was mostly because of the way the perimeter defense was playing the pressure. And as soon as someone would get by them and get that paint touch, you'd see Sabonis come up. You'd see a big come up, and then it would just allow their bigs to be wide open and get an easy two. What did they finish in the paint? 38 points in the paint.
Which, by the way, that number was pretty high at halftime. So I thought the Kings did a good job on the paint, but the Hawks end up shooting 19 of 50 from three-point land. We say all this when the Kings win the game, but it's just a good lesson. Like, hey, against these teams that have more of a high-octane offense, that have their pieces, some of these teams in the West, you know, you may not get away with tonight.
Sure.
But I think the Kings' offense tonight, and let's just start with DeMar. My goodness. So he's played five games for Sacramento, scored 20 or more in every single game. He finished with 27 points tonight, 8 rebounds. He had 3 steals, a block, 2 assists. He did on 9 of 16 shooting. He knocked down a three-pointer, his one attempt of the game. He was also 8 of 10 from the free throw line. What jumped out to you about DeMar's performance in this game?
Probably just when you needed a bucket, he was getting a bucket. And I talk about, like, toward the end of the game, there was those 3 possessions in a row where it was mid-range shot, mid-range shot, mid-range shot. And you're just like, holy shit. And then I think he ended up missing the fourth one, the fourth possession, whatever. My point is, it just felt like when we say, oh, DeMar DeRozan's a bucket, like, that was the epitome of what we were trying to say in the work that he's put in, but also the understanding of him being that type of player that you can rely on out there on the floor. And you broke down a video in the pregame with a lot of defenses collapsing over to him once he would start to back down, whatever it is. And he just makes the right decision. He knows when he needs to shoot the basketball. I think there was a few times in the preseason where I was like, oh, is he going to do a lot more ISO than we even think? I just think they've done such a great job of finding that balance. And again, egoless team where you're going to see someone like DeMar DeRozan just do a really good job of adjusting with who he's playing with.
I mean, last year they lose this game, you know?
It's true.
Having another guy that, I mean, we talked about this when they signed him, and I know it's 5 games in, but you see game after game, he's just more comfortable with the offense. And it's not like, I think early, the first game or two, you're like, oh man, are the Kings having an identity crisis where it's like, it seems like DeMar is getting used to the Kings' pace and the Kings are getting used to his pace every once in a while. And I think they're striking a really good balance recently where he is playing, he's getting the Kings into the early offense.
Yeah.
And then he finds mismatches. And if it's a mismatch, he knows, one, if they don't bring help, he can go get a bucket. If the help comes over, he's got the vision to find guys. Like Morgan was talking about this breakdown I did in the pregame today. His ability to have a jump pass, he'll be in the air looking like he's shooting. In fact, against Utah last game, he was in the air. You see the high, it looks like he's shooting the rock.
Deuce has talked about this play 7 times. Go on.
Walker Kessler is on Sabonis, who's on the roll, and Walker Kessler is boxing out Sabonis because he thinks the shot's going up. Last second, he throws it to Sabonis, who scores it no problem. Anyway, his feel for the game is just tremendous. The guy is a certified bucket getter. Elite shooter, 55% shooting. He's averaging 24 points a game with the Kings.
Yeah.
You know, he's getting steals, deflections.
Three steals tonight. Yep.
He's been spectacular. And while you talk more about him, I'm going to look up deflections tonight.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that's been one of the coolest parts, too, is that you are going to get inspired by the way someone plays. Like, we always talk about how Domas is just like, you never have to question his effort. This guy's a beast. He sacrifices his body. De'Aaron, like, when he gets mad, he just gets going even more and gets active with his hands. And with DeMar, the way that he plays with so much poise, his pace on both ends of the floor. Like, again, you talk about the defensive end just grabbing those three steals, and then you look at all the other games that he's getting the deflections, hands in the passing lane, being active with his hands. It doesn't matter that he is the oldest player on the team now.
Oh, yeah. He's 35.
The oldest player on the team. Like, he's going to always make sure to go back to the basics, back to the fundamentals, and know that it's going to take discipline with these little things that you're taught throughout your basketball years, in your young basketball years, to continue to bring onto the NBA floor.
Yeah, and the deflections are updated. But one of the stretches you were talking about in the fourth quarter is when the Hawks were making a bit of a push. It was in the fourth quarter, and there was like 4 minutes to go. They cut it to 9. DeRozan hits 3 straight jumpers to make it 96-81. And it's like, just a guy that could just stop the bleeding. Yep. Of course, the Hawks don't go away, but then you have the situation where they tie the game at 109, and what a response from Sacramento after that. Fox hits a jumper. DeRozan hits a jumper. Fox hits a jumper. All of a sudden, it's 115-109, and the Kings got control of the game again. And so, yeah, I've just been amazed at how well DeRozan's fit in, how he's made life easier for everyone. You look at De'Aaron Fox tonight, who had 31 points. He knocked down 4 of 6 from downtown. But for De'Aaron's perspective, when we talked to him post-game, Morin was asking him about his three-point looks, and he goes, they're all like catch and shoot. And that's the big difference.
Huge!
Because of the weapons you have with DeRozan, Fox, and Sabonis, people are getting incredible looks. Now the others have to start knocking them down, but you're generating awesome looks.
Yeah, and that's super important, right? Like, especially when you talk about some of the threes over the last couple of years the Sacramento Kings have taken, especially when it just becomes Chuck City, and not all threes are created equal, and you're just
going
like,
for the home run play.
Yeah, you're living or dying, and living and dying by the three, and you're not like working the defense, not, you know, doing anything else. And I just feel like this team, and probably because of the way that they're coached by Mike Brown, they are being taught, no, that's not okay. Like, we have standards when it comes to our threes. And just look how beautiful the basketball is when they are playing like that. The ball has a different type of energy. It's flowing. I mean, you know, you talk about it from three-point land, but truly that play in transition, they get the ball out, and it was just pass, 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 pass. Malik,
no dribble.
No dribble. Yeah. And it's like, those are the type of drills that you do at practice. And when you see that as a coach and you just understand how the ball can advance so much faster with the pass than a dribble, it's just, it's a beautiful thing.
And, you know, when DeRozan got signed, a lot of the critics were talking about the pace, right?
Yeah. But
they were also talking about, man, what's spacing going to be like? And one of the things we had talked about is, like, DeMar draws attention. Uh-huh. Like, it's just, and he's not like an elite 3-point shooter. He's taken more over the years, but he's not known for his 3-point shot. So what's the spacing going to be like? Well, he creates spacing because he creates mismatches, and you have to defend him in the mid-range. He's one of the best mid-range guys in the NBA, and when he gets to his spots in the mid-range, it's night-night.
I still think that that was the funniest narrative that was ever put
it's
out
just,
there.
It's just it's a simple thing. You know, so many fans, well, he's not a three-point shooter, so therefore there's no spacing. You can create spacing in different ways.
Sure.
Spacing by making sure guys are in the right spots, making sure they're shooting around, making sure that you have a guy like DeRozan who attracts double team attention. Same with Fox.
I just felt like it was a narrative that was picked up and then everyone just kept going with it. And I remember like all I felt like I had to do was think about it and then go, well I just don't think it's going to be an issue. And I'm so glad that I was right that it's actually not an issue. And instead, there's just been such incredible basketball with some of these pieces on the floor.
I would love to see the Kings get really hot from three soon. They were 11 of 33 in this game. And, you know, Trey Lyles is really struggling with his outside shot. He was one of six tonight. Keegan Murray struggling with his outside shot outside that one game. He was one of six from downtown. Herter, who has been really shooting the ball well, he was 2 of 8 tonight. Are you concerned at all? Or are you more like, look, these guys are getting good looks. They'll drop. I guess my fear is like last year, we kind of said the same thing. And Keegan was very inconsistent last year after having an awesome rookie year. And Trey, you know, I think he shot like 38%. He wasn't bad, but like.
Remember some of these games in the beginning of this season, in the beginning of last season or whatever, when it came to De'Aaron Fox and his shooting threes and everyone's like, why is he shooting so many threes? Oh my God, he's not a 3-point shooter. And I said to you tonight after he made his fourth three, and I said, Deuce, like, he's a shooter. I know that's...
He's a scorer.
He's a scorer, yes. But my point is, he can score in so many different ways. And when you see some of these games where it's not the best three-point shooting game, you're going, why did he take so many threes? I mean, that's going to happen throughout the league with some of the best players in the league. Like, you're going to take some of your looks. And now with Trey Lyles, he got so many good looks.
So did Keegan.
And so did Keegan. And my point is... keep shooting. You know, we're there in the beginning of the season. You're still trying to find your flow. Now, if it comes a point where you're 1 of 7, Trey Lyles, and you didn't try anything else, let's see, or 1 of 6, and then 1 of 7 from the field. Yeah, you need to make sure you're attacking. Like, you're going to take every wide open three. If you get a wide open three in the NBA, you're going to take it. But I'm sorry, there is going to come a point where you maybe take a pump fake, try and just like get the ball in rhythm and like take a long two and have coach be mad at you. But make it. You know what I mean? You got to find what works for you.
And with Keegan, if he starts knocking down these threes at a rate, I think he can. I think he can be like a 37-38% three-point shooter. He's going to be close to 20 a game. I like the other aspects of Keegan's game this year. I think what he is showing me, right? He had a double-double tonight. He had 14 points. He had 10 rebounds. 6 of 12 shooting. 1 of 6 from 3. And by the way, when we're talking about the Kings' three-point shooting, they're 11 for 33, they still mustered 123 points.
Yeah.
Because they're knocking down other shots, they're getting to the free throw line, making their free throws. But with Keegan, they challenge him like, you're gonna defend a variety of people, bigger guys. You're going to still defend guards out there, some of these wings, but also we need you to crash that offensive glass. And he's accepted the challenge. I think his rebounding has been fantastic. He had one tonight in the defensive rebounding where he just snatched it in the air from Clint Capella. He was flying in from the corners to get offensive rebounds, and it felt like big ones. He had a huge one in the fourth quarter. He's playing awesome defense. The one thing I told Morgan is, like, I just need his, like, aggressive mentality when it comes to crashing the offensive glass to be – his mindset when he's got the ball and attacking the basket. He had one tonight in transition where he got an and one where he just lowered his shoulder. He's gotten so much stronger.
Yes.
So I'm excited about that, but I want that consistency with the aggressiveness around the basket. But the rebounding and defense from him this year has been fantastic.
What Deuce is saying, just in case anyone didn't understand, how aggressive he is when he grabs a rebound. That's how I felt like you didn't explain it right.
Did it well.
That's how Deuce wants him to attack the basket, with that same type of aggression, which we have seen him do, but he wants to see it more. Thank you. I just explained Deuce language. But you're right. The energy, it's an energy booster when a teammate puts in that extra effort and gets you another opportunity, yep, or make sure to finish off a defensive possession. And I feel like he's doing that at such an obvious, in such an obvious way right now. You know, like sometimes you look at the end, at the stats, like poor Sabonis will always get, you know, double digit rebounds and someone will be like, oh yeah, okay, but they need a rim protector. And it's like, no, he's finishing off the defensive possession. And with someone like Keegan Murray, it's just in your face with the way that he's flying in there, which I believe makes everyone a little bit more energized, from fans to the rest of the team. One thing I really wanted to mention really quick, someone said in our chat that they were actually there and they were like, it was a library in there. And I read on one of our, yeah, our beginning sheets that we have, that they put out all these different stats. They say that the Hawks have the lowest attendance of all the NBA so far this year.
Sucks.
I know.
I hate it.
But go on.
I hate it. It's a bummer.
It does.
It's not fun to play in an empty gym, no, as a player, whether you're home or away. It just sucks. So, Keegan also had three assists tonight, including a lob to De'Aaron Fox off a turnover. I bring up the assists because the Kings had 28 assists on 43 makes tonight, but my favorite part about it was the balance. Everyone who played in this game tonight had at least two assists. Well, let me take that back. Colby Jones only played for that brief second when Mike, for whatever reason, put him in the end of the fourth quarter or end of the third real fast. The idea was, hey, there's 11 seconds to go in the third quarter. Fox has three fouls. Let's not have him pick up a cheap foul. Sure. We'll put Colby in to defend Trae Young. Okay, a couple of things. One, Colby hasn't played the entire game, okay? Nope. And I know, hey, be ready when your name's called. Can we just trust that Fox isn't going to pick up a foul? And so what happens is Colby, you know, gets blown by, fouls Trae Young with who has a floater, then Trey Lyles comes in goaltending and one. You're just like, dude, like, you don't think Fox could have just like handled that for 11 seconds? Like, it would have been okay. I think that's overthinking it for Mike Brown a little bit.
Yeah, but I also understand it too as a coach, you know, where you are overthinking that and you're just like, but what if? Like, what if I just didn't do this one thing? And it ended up being this momentum changer at the end of the half, right? That was at the end of the second, right? Second quarter?
End of third, I think.
Oh, end of the third?
I think. I don't know.
Wherever it was. It's end of a quarter momentum changer.
Yeah, end of the third.
Okay.
You could put Jordan McLaughlin in, as the chat said. Yeah. I mean, that's fair. But I mean, also, like, if Fox is fine, just let him check Trey, okay? But back to the assists for a second. DeRozan had two, Keegan three, Sabonis six, Herter four, Fox three, Monk six, and two apiece for Ellis and Lyles. I just love that everyone's, you know, getting in on the action. The ball was moving. It was beautiful ball movement tonight.
Something we said on the postgame show too, it was like, how fun is it when you're a player and you're moving, cutting, doing everything you can to get the basketball, to get your teammates, you know, a look for an open pass to you, and you're working your ass off and you get rewarded with the pass. Well, how nice is it for that teammate when you actually finish the bucket and you finish the job? And that's what you saw here with those assist numbers, with it all spread out evenly, just everyone sharing the basketball, everyone getting rewarded, and everyone just doing the right thing and finishing the bucket as well.
Mentioned Malik Monk with six assists. He had 9 points, four rebounds. He's 3 of 9 shooting. Hasn't been knocking down threes either. How about the dunk he had?
Holy shit. That was nice.
That was really
nice. There was a few
nice
little dunks in this game, but that was just like one of those moments where your chair flies back and you're just like, what?
Another early season thing I wanted to put out there tonight. I mentioned this on our Patreon chat the other night. The touches from last year to this year. So last year, Domas was getting 91 touches per game. Like that was the highest on the team. Mm-hmm. I think Fox is in the 70s. This year, Domas is going from 91 touches a game to, coming into tonight, 64 touches a game. And the Kings are having such better balance with their touches. I mean, you're seeing like, okay, 60 for this guy, yeah, 50 for this guy, yeah, 40 for this guy, 50 for this guy. And it goes to what I was showing with the assist numbers and the productivity you're seeing, is they're not just running everything for Sabonis. They started this game running a lot through Sabonis, mm-hmm, and they will still run through Sabonis. But I think this offense just has a little more diversity. They don't have one style of play now. And that's a huge credit to this group for like buying into, hey, we got some different shit we can run now because we have someone like DeMar DeRozan.
I love that stat that you point out with Sabonis, because I think that would be concerning for a lot of teams and a lot of players being, oh God, like this isn't good. Oh, he's not getting the ball as much as he should be because, you know, everyone has to touch the basketball. No, it's a good thing when you have multiple people on a roster that need the basketball, but are willing to share the basketball too. I mean, how many times did we talk about all these big threes over the years around the league and being like, but so-and-so needs the ball in his hands, but so-and-so needs the ball in his hands. And you see with the Sacramento Kings, what type of players they have, but also like how the roster is constructed is they know that they are better when more people are touching the basketball. So then you're throwing different looks at defenses.
These early games are always interesting, especially on a Friday night. So yeah. Shout out to everyone hanging out with us live on a Friday night.
Give me a hell yeah.
We love seeing the chat popping. Let's see. One comment. LaFleur says, DeMar has really opened up the offense. Opposing teams have to play man. Yeah. And when they bring help, you make them pay.
You know, and you saw at first the Hawks switching a lot of everything. And then Domas had this fantastic screen. I want to say it was on Johnson, who was defending Kevin Huerter. And it was just like nobody stepped up, and Huerter had a wide open look from three. And it was just beautiful. It was like they adjusted to even this defense switching on them. They just keep doing a good job adjusting some things.
Yeah. And I think even, you know, we talked about the defense and how like there were moments like, God, you give up 59 points in the first half. You know, they hit 19 threes. But there were flashes where you're like, dude, great verticality at the rim from like Sabonis and Keegan. And yeah, this team doesn't have shot blockers, but, you know, I felt like there were still active hands. And there was some moments where there were some good things too. So, yeah. Look, it was got a little too close for comfort.
A little too close, a little anxiety.
But it was exciting to see how it ended tonight.
I'm so with you. And I think there comes a time too when you know your team is good enough, or they've proven that they're good enough where it's like, no, that shouldn't happen. I felt that way a little bit at one point when obviously it was tied up after Trae Young long two, but at the same time, it's like, no, they're not there yet. Like let them get there before you just start saying that they're a good team and this should not happen to them.
Also off rebounding on the game, 51-40 in favor of Sacramento. Ooh, tonight. They end up shooting 48%, 33% from downtown, 20 of 6 for 30 at the line, 86% at the free throw line. Leandro in the chat says, loved the ball movement. When everybody gets the ball, the offense flows.
Hell yeah. It's and how fun. What a fun product to watch too. Yeah. That's, I don't know. It's exciting.
Kings had 9 steals tonight. They had 4 blocks, including that one Trey Lyles had late. Good challenge.
Yeah.
By the way, you know, people were critical of Mike Brown's challenges, and I don't know if it's a change to the coaching staff now, but early season, I believe he's now 5-1 on challenges this year.
Whoa.
Remember the Fox play he challenged tonight?
Yeah.
That ended up being an offensive foul on Trae Young.
Yep.
And then he challenged the one on the block on Trae Lyles that they called goaltending. I'm sitting there like, that was a great block. He flew in there. Great help defense, Trae. Let's go. And I'm like, there's no way they're going
to. You said it's not in the apex or something?
They said it was in the apex.
I just loved when you used that term. You're like, it's not in the apex.
Well, it said it on the screen.
I know.
That's why I didn't just. That was a fantastic block by Trae Lyles. So.
Yeah.
Timely plays by Sacramento.
So blame Jordy Fernandez for last year?
You'd technically blame.
Who?
Well, I think Luke Laux was in charge of replays last year, and he's in the front of the bench.
Oh, thank God he moved.
I think Luke Laux wasn't very good at those, huh? They got some new eyeballs on it, and now they're nailing it. No, but Deard was like adamant about that one. He's like, no, challenge it, and they challenged it. So
yeah,
that was
and he was
play.
Right.
Speaking of De'Aaron Fox, I feel like we kind of coasted. I know we mentioned his 3-point shooting, but you know, we talked so much about DeMar. De'Aaron had 31 leading the team. He had 7 rebounds. Awesome. 3 assists. He also had 4 steals, 11 of 16 shooting. He was 4 of 6 from downtown, 5 of 6 at the free throw line tonight. What stood out to you about De'Aaron?
Probably just that he never wavered. He never stopped. Like his energy was consistent all throughout the game, his intensity, his aggressiveness. And that is something that we talked about year after year after year with him, was like, man, why can't he just do this all game? Why can't, you know, and then you you talk to people and you realize how difficult it was for him to do so much on the offensive end while trying to still be a great defender. And I just feel like, too, because there are more he's grown and matured as a player and has changed his game, but also because they've put more pieces around him, it's allowing him not to do all the work and attacking the basket every single goddamn possession. And so I think that's allowed him to really just stay consistently aggressive throughout a game. And that was what I felt like was tonight for him.
So the Kings are now 3-2 on the season. You were just talking about Jordy Fernandez. The chat brings this up. Shout out to the Brooklyn Nets. Everyone thought they were going to be dog shit this year. Mm-hmm. They win again tonight. They beat Chicago. Brooklyn? 3-3 on this early season.
Wow, Jordy, changing.
I'm not surprised.
Things.
Jordy has those guys, like he's a culture guy, and I think he's got those guys believing. They're probably not going to be very good the whole year, but the fact is they're like trying to establish some sort of culture, and I don't think there's a better guy to do it than Jordy. He's just got the perfect demeanor, organized, passionate, smart.
So much more
I'm
fun
happy
for that
Brooklyn.
Fan base, too. When you actually have, like, a team that is going to play inspired.
You think about that, too. Like, I remember when the Kings were supposed to be bad. I think it was at Fox's rookie. Was it Fox's rookie year?
Yeah.
And yeah, right? I'm blurring it together. Yeah. The year they won 39 games. Was that Fox's first year or second?
Okay.
I think it was the second year. Either way.
Whatever.
The Kings were supposed to be bad. And... like, really bad. One of the worst teams. Dave Yeager thought they were going to be bad. And, like, he was going to get fired early in the season.
Yeah.
Well, how... Yes. We had so much fun. Like, oh, my God! 39... It was just, like, a fun year, right?
Yeah.
That's what my whole point is, like, Brooklyn, like... It's fun to root for a team that you don't expect to be good, and they're just like scrappy and fun,
and they
catch people by surprise.
Teams, all those different things.
We got more of the podcast coming up, but we should mention that tonight's podcast presented by our friends over at Mother Restaurant Sacramento, mothersacramento.com. If you're looking for a delicious meal, you need like a go-to date spot.
Yes.
You need a spot to go before a Kings game. Go to someone that has amazing food using locally sourced ingredients that knows how to legit cook a meal.
Yeah, dude, you guys, I went there day off on Wednesday, just got it to go. I was like, I just need to like veg out on my couch. And, you know, I was like, I know what their food is. I was just expecting like, oh, to feel good. This is great. It's to go, whatever. I'm not joking you. The feeling that I got with every single bite, sometimes you forget in a certain dish what type of flavors are in there and everything. They're just one of the best restaurants ever. And I'm just so, so proud that we get a partner with them. But also there's tons of deals coming up in November that we'll go over tomorrow. But you can go in before every single Kings game, home or away, 50% off all drinks.
2319 K Street. You can also order online and look at the menu, mothersacramento.com. Mm. You can do it to go, but also like it's a fun spot to like just
I want it
enjoy.
Again tomorrow.
You can eat outside, inside. It's
great area.
Also presented by our friends over at Golden One Credit Union. If you're a Kings fan, this one's for you. Golden One is the official credit union of the Sacramento Kings. And how about some of the perks you get Morgan
you
Reagan.
You get tons of perks. You get up to 50% off Kings home games through the Golden One's online discount ticket portal.
How about merch?
15% off merch when you use your Golden One card at the Kings team store. I mean, you guys, and then you know when that whole thing when you like raise your card up in the air and they're like, who's a Golden One member? Yep. And you just kind of go, okay, what are you going to get? Like a gift package? I don't think so. Sometimes you can be upgraded to courtside, lower bowl.
Yeah. How about the behind the scenes tours? You can do a Kings warm-up watch. Sometimes you get the post-game free throw on the court, take a free throw on the Golden One Center.
We've already had listeners become Golden One members. It's really cool when you guys reach out and you tell me, you're like, that's what I did now. So make sure you go and do it today.
Yeah, visit GoldenOne.com to see their range of products and services to help start your journey today. That's how you win as one. Become a member at GoldenOne.com. Also presented tonight by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. You're thinking about getting windows?
Oh, what about an HVAC system?
Or you need a little HVAC tune-up?
Ooh.
There's no better place to go than the experts over at Northwest Exteriors. They're back with us for a second year, and we believe in them because they do amazing work. We've seen it firsthand. How about the windows we have in our podcast studio?
Dude.
game changer. Oh my goodness. To have energy efficient windows keeps it nice and cool in the summertime and keep you warm in the wintertime, and you save money.
Not only that, the other day I was talking to a neighbor and my dog was inside and their dog was out on the front lawn. I'm petting the dog and my dog's barking. But guess what? I couldn't hear the dog barking. I just look over and I see like, you know, you see the mouth moving and stuff. I'm like, yes, because I got, what is it called? Noise canceling on my windows. So
it's you can game get changer.
So many different features. Make sure you check out Northwest Exteriors.
They also do HVAC too. Older, if you need a tune up, they can do that as well. Everybody who works there has been there forever.
So great.
Family atmosphere, great people. Make sure to check out their website, northwestexteriors.com, because they are
simply the best.
Trust Northwest.
Couldn't really hear it.
No, I couldn't. I think we got it.
It's okay. It's okay. Hey, chat. Question for you tonight, and a question for Morgan Reagan. Who should be our simply the best player of the game?
I think it can go two main guys for me. De'Aaron and DeMar.
Okay. I said simply the best player of the game,
okay,
not players
I'm
going
to go with De'Aaron for me.
De'Aaron with 31 points tonight. But what about people in the chat? Who are you going with?
Yeah, who are you guys going with? Huh? Who you got? We're waiting for it to come in to see who you guys are actually going with.
While we wait, we should mention some other stats. Kevin Huerter had 10 points, 4 assists tonight. The Kings.
Look at that.
Oh, a lot of people mentioned a lot of Fox with 31.
Fomar, as in Fox and DeMar.
Combined, huh? Well, let's see.
I like it.
See what Deuce Mason chose as the simply the best player of the game. I went with Debo tonight. DeMar DeRozan. Got to give him some love. 27 points, 8 rebounds, 3 steals on 9 for 16. Huh. 9-1-6? 9 for 16 shooting. He was also 8 of 10 from the free throw line. Came up big with some massive plays, mid-range shots in the fourth quarter, some big free throws as well. He was beyond active. Also had 2 assists and a steal. I think he's been a great pickup for the Sacramento Kings. He is our simply the best player of the game, presented by Northwest Exteriors.
Congratulations, DeMar DeRozan.
And big game for him tomorrow, going back home.
Big game for him tomorrow.
There's a lot of interesting angles. Kings play a second. I have a back-to-back against the Raptors. Let me just say one thing real fast.
Just one thing.
This road trip.
Do we have our map?
I wish we did. Ugh. So the Kings went from Sacramento, Salt Lake City, then down to Atlanta, Georgia. Uh-huh. You would think they play Miami this trip. You just go right next to Florida and go to play Miami, then go to Toronto, go back home. Maybe. No. Kings go from Salt Lake City. Actually, here's what I would have done. I would have gone Sacramento, okay, to Salt Lake City, Toronto, Atlanta, Miami, home. Instead, the Kings go Sacramento, Salt Lake City, to Georgia, up through customs to Toronto on a second I have a back-to-back, and they cap off the road trip going back to Florida before coming back to Sacramento. 6,616 miles. The league could have saved them like 500 miles if they planned this a little better.
You just made the lyrics. 6,616 miles. The league could have... What'd you say? The league could have... Like, done something?
Fixed it.
The league could have fixed it if they planned a little better.
Yeah, it could have been 500 miles.
Could have been 500 less. Miles less in gas, in airline, in time,
in
sleep.
Yeah,
and
think
everything.
About the carbon footprint, silver. Huh? Let's just thousands of miles,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, good idea.
Get him.
Great.
Yeah.
We're all thrilled. Here's it's 120 thing. In Sacramento for 80 straight days.
The only thing I keep. Okay.
It's a joke, guys. Relax.
I keep pushing back on Deuce with this, though, too, because I'm like, look, you screw up back-to-back for the Sacramento Kings in the beginning of the season.
I'm saying it's just funny. It's not that big of a deal. I mean, but anyway, Kings and Raptors tomorrow. DeRozan going back to Toronto where he started his career, so that's always a cool moment.
It is.
Davion Mitchell.
Revenge game.
First game against Sacramento. He's been the starting lineup for the Raptors. They are 1-5. They lost tonight against the Lakers. They've lost 4 in a row now. They're really banged up. Scotty Barnes is out, but Grady Dick has been huge for Toronto as of late. 31 points.
What?
No, I was just saying, Dick's growth has just been...
Stop. Just say it, like, say, call him Grady.
That's weird. When I say DeRozan and Fox, why am I going to say his last name?
So Dick's growth.
Yeah, I just think, like, well, you can tell, like, he's gotten bigger. Like, Dick's, his girth is there, and it's allowed him.
Girth. What? So he's still such a skinny little dude.
Can you grow up? Can you, like, grow up?
It's funny, when he was playing in college, and we were, that's when we were still doing sports radio, and I was so immature. I saw his last name. I was like, oh my God, that guy's last name is Dick.
Yeah, so, like, stupid.
It was funny. Immature, but whatever. Yeah, everyone's laughing at your stupid Dick jokes. Ha ha ha. Grady Dick, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, he's not, well, he is actually a big storyline because of what he ended up, I mean, he's been playing well. He scored over 30 again tonight, but I really
He had 31 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 13 of 26. Man.
What?
Oh, he was just, Dick was a monster. But they are banged up. They do have Jakob Poeltl, who has given Sabonis problems in the past.
He has.
Do you think, how big of a factor do you think Davion Mitchell is going to be tomorrow night?
I don't know. Second night of a back-to-back, he is starting, so you're probably feeling good there. It just depends on how he channels his energy, and I feel like Davion Mitchell is someone that puts in so much work and will channel it into he will do the right things, especially defensively, as we know.
You know, I've seen Corey Joseph destroy the Kings before, and that was frustrating. You know, Davion's coming for blood tomorrow.
Yeah,
he knows the team's going to be on the second night of a back-to-back.
I love it. He should. He should. And if you're Sacramento, you should be planning on it and know what he's capable of. And you don't want to let him get things going offensively, especially because he can control what he can control defensively.
The other interesting thing for tomorrow night, Vince Carter, the former Sacramento King legend, is having his jersey retired by the Raptors tomorrow night, which is pretty cool. They're doing it with DeRozan in town, another Raptors legend, right?
Yeah.
Vince played in Sacramento, too, that one season. They're retiring it at halftime. So halftime is usually like, what, 14, 15 minutes
sure.
long?
Yeah.
It's going to be 25 minutes long tomorrow night. So that's going to be another weird thing about the game.
Mike Bibby and I are going to have a long halftime show.
Yeah, you guys should play the Vince Carter
stuff.
We're
actually going to play some of the Vince Carter stuff and make sure to show that celebration. So, I like it. I think, you know, when you do bring it up logistically, you go, oh, what does that do for these teams?
Sometimes it's weird. It takes you out of rhythm.
Sometimes it could be great and like give you the breather you need. And other times it's exactly what you just said. Just take you out of rhythm. And it just depends on what team is in more rhythm.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know. It's also, are we overanalyzing? It's 10 extra minutes. Is it that big of a deal?
I mean, it's sometimes. Sometimes it just depends on who you are.
I guess you just stay a little loose and, like, I don't know. And you're right. Second half of back-to-back, you might appreciate a little rest.
When I go to the gym, like, if it's a class or something and it just doesn't start, like, I have to just get moving because I'm like, I'm here anyway. I have to just start moving. And, like, not everyone's weird like that, but I'm like, no, I got to go.
Here's what I'm going to say.
What?
If tomorrow night you're like, man, I think the 10 extra minutes at halftime really hurt the Kings, then we got problems. Oh. Like, relax. This is honestly a good opportunity for Sacramento, too. And, you know, second night of back-to-backs are tough. As we always say, the travel, going through customs, they're going to get there late. But it is a Raptors team it's banged up. It doesn't mean they don't have guys that can hurt you. RJ Barrett dropped 33 tonight. We mentioned Poeltl. Grady Dick has been playing some good basketball. They move the ball. They play hard.
Absolutely.
They're just, you know, lacking some talent at this point. But it doesn't mean you can take them lightly. They've got some size.
And with a team that's lacking talent, though, you've got to hit them hard. You just do. Especially when you're on this road trip. You're on a second night of a back-to-back. They only have Sunday off.
Yeah. And then they play Miami Monday.
Yeah.
And then they come back home for Toronto Wednesday, which is, you know, after a long road trip, you got to play this Raptors team again.
Yeah.
No. But whatever. I mean, I don't know. It's
NBA
early.
Schedule.
It's NBA. Yeah. It's the NBA schedule.
What are you
talking about?
So.
But hey, I think if you can win tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
That would be, you'd be what? So are you talking, that you'd be a 3-0 road trip. Uh-huh. Or you'd be 3-0 on the road trip. If you drop one to Miami, it's like whatever. But a 3-1 road trip you'd sign up for?
Yes. So yeah. Obviously. Yeah. Of course I would sign up for that.
So
get it done.
Yeah. Well, just beat Miami too. Let's keep it rolling. Right, who do we have after
just
Toronto?
Wants to win every game. And just like, then you're going to beat this person, and then you're going to beat this person.
Let me look. Just look real fast.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Okay, so they go Toronto, Miami on the road, then home for Toronto, the Clippers, and then they go at Phoenix, at San Antonio, home for the Suns and Minnesota.
Okay.
It's going to be interesting.
We'll get there when we get there.
Couple of Suns games coming up. We got Victor. We got Harrison Barnes.
Harrison Barnes revenge.
A rematch
game
with Minnesota. I think that's a NBA Cup game.
Is it?
I think
oh,
so.
I'm excited. I want
we got
an
that
NBA
starting
Cup
soon.
I'm excited.
Actually, I think the Clippers game's an NBA Cup game. That's the first one.
Look what the NBA
next
did.
Friday night.
Made me excited for NBA Cup games.
We're going to Vegas and we're getting that damn cup.
Hopefully.
We'll see. Any other final thoughts on this one? We're going to be doing this again tomorrow night, late night.
We got it again tomorrow night. This was fun, though. I had fun. This was a fun game to talk about, too. You know, like, I think Deuce and I have come on here after wins, and it's been like, oh, you know, they grinded it out. They did what they need to do, whatever. But this one, there was a lot of good. I know defensively there's a lot of troubles, but I felt like the good overpowering everything because they ended up with the W as well. So I was happy with it.
Same. I think last year, even you know, the year where they made the playoffs, there were so many games that you look back and go, man, why'd you throw away that game? And last year they had a game at Portland early. They threw away, you know, you remember the game at home against Indiana where you're like, they don't have Halliburton and Siakam trade just happened. They're shorthanded and you just lost to them because TJ McConnell, like that's not a game you lose at home. They lost to the Pistons last year, you know, right around the deadline. We're like, what is this? They lose to the Wizards. You know, there's just so many games that you went, God, if you just handled your business, you'd be in a much different spot. So for them not to throw away these games against teams that aren't as good, who are banged up, that excites me. And now you got to go do it again tomorrow night against Toronto. I can't wait
to
talk about it.
In the Deucimo podcast studios tomorrow. So it'll be starting around 10 p.m. instead of right after the game. I'm going to drive back to Sacramento and then we will... Hopefully I'll drive back, seeing a beam, and it'll be 10 p.m. It's a Saturday night, so come party either way.
We appreciate you guys so much for being with us tonight. Make sure after the show you drop some comments, hit the thumbs up, subscribe. If you're listening to the audio, give us a review. Seriously, all that stuff just helps us grow. We appreciate everybody's support. We love you guys, but we got to go. I got to drive back to Sacramento tonight.
Oh, I have to stay because I have to do the game tomorrow. You all have a wonderful rest of your night. See ya!
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
Hi, I'm Devin Whitmire. People from South Carolina, like myself, are proud of their state, but even we don't know every nook and cranny or every piece of culture or history. To explore places that are off the beaten path, you have to talk to the people there because their stories, their ideas make everything come together. From Discover South Carolina, it's the Palmetto Porch. To learn more, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.